Hello and welcome to Soul Speak. I'm Meg Michelson. In today's episode, we will be looking deeper into the child and the victim archetypes, spoken about them before, and now it's time for a little deeper dive and to look at how they can help us or hurt us in our relationships. Well, welcome back. Thank you so much for being here, for following, for liking, for rating, for sharing. Really does mean a lot, and I appreciate it so much. So thank you. I want to talk a little today about the archetypes of the victim and the child. Years ago, I studied with a great teacher named Carolyn Mace, and I did a 3-year study with Sacred Contracts, which is all about archetypes. I've taught this for years. I haven't taught it in a while, but it's been coming up a lot in couples and just in mother-child and a lot of the people that I work with one-on-one. Because archetypes are alive and present in our lives all the time. And so what is an archetype? An archetype was founded years and years ago. Plato talked about it in the concept of a form. And then the Swiss psychologist Carl Jung brought it into our vocabulary. I think that was in the 60s or 70s. I don't know. I was too young. And then Carolyn Mace brought it into my world and the world of many others sometime in the, it must have been the 2000s. So that's what I really want to talk about today and how we all run them and they're part of us. They always will be. And how do we recognize when we are not in the light of it, but in the shadow of it, when we're using it in an unhealthy way? So over the next few episodes, I'm going to be talking about the four primary. And today, like I said, we're going to be talking about two, the victim and the child. And those two run hand in hand, and they all do, of course, they all do. But those two especially can really run hand in hand to help us or hurt our relationships. But of course, it's part of us. So today's focus is going to be on the victim and the child and how they work together to help us or sometimes hurt us based on, of course, our own behavior. This is part of us. It isn't a separate entity. The victim runs that energy when we're in the shadow of how am I ever going to get ahead? How is my life ever going to change? Or we can feel empowered and say, I can find a way and I'm going to maintain healthy boundaries through this. And the other one we're going to talk about is the child. And there's many aspects to the child. And the child is that beautiful, wonder, fun, but also the one that can be a little spoiled bratish and pick up her toys and run from the sandbox because not handling emotions well. So I want to look at those today with you in both the shadow and the light. And we've talked about shadow and light before, and those are just terms I use for when we're in the shadow of something. We're not being in the healthiest version of it. When we're in the light of it, we've got the lesson and we're now using it for our highest good. So when we're in the shadow of the victim and the child, it can be on either side of the spectrum. Sometimes we say that we are being not victim-like because we are really strong. However, sometimes we're too strong. So that can be that spectrum again. There's a lot of shades of gray because we can be in victim and think everything is going wrong. Or we can be in victim and not allow anyone to help us. We keep our heart closed. Those are both shadow parts of the victim. We can be in child and become too dependent as an adult. We rely too much on people's compliments or praise. We rely too much on someone else's resources, whether that be time, money, physical help. Or we can push away our loved ones because we really don't want to appear like a child or needy. And that, again, those are both a little bit too much in the shadow. So let's start with victim. Victim as an archetype, and again, part of us, we all run it. It's that guardian of our self-esteem and personal boundaries. The goal, really, when we are looking at our internal victim, is to move from feeling the victim to feeling victorious, to feeling that healthy sense of empowerment. And this part of us, this victim energy that is part of us, aids us into the development of our self-esteem and that personal empowerment. And that's in all walks of life, everybody, and also all situations, whether that's social, professional, or personal. We can be really strong in our home life, and then we can feel really victimized in our work life or in our personal life. So we want to be looking at all aspects of our life, because at the end of the day, this energy is to help us learn how to support our development of giving and receiving in more balanced ways, and feeling like we can be responsible for ourselves, but also let people in. So it's all about balance. And where we're going to find this most in our body, in our third chakra, which is our mid back, our sides, and of course, our upper gut. That is, remember, we've talked about this solar plexus, which is the sun, which is where we get our energy. So when we're feeling victimized, we feel disempowered. And when we're feeling too strong and not allowing people in, we can feel too much of the shadow ego. So it's all about the balance. And that really, you'll know that as you feel healthier in your third chakra, not with a puffed out chest, but in just that state of, I feel really good. And how we run this in the shadow can be really subtle. So for instance, years ago, when I was traveling with one of my girlfriends and she had a really sore shoulder, she did not want to carry her suitcase, but she wouldn't let me either. I offered to help her and she said, no, I got it. And her shoulder was just killing her, but she kept carrying it. Then I called her on it, because that's what good friends do. Just let me have your suitcase because you're hurting yourself. Why? Because she was in the shadow of that victim. No, when we are victimized, and we all are at some point, whether it's in childhood or mid-adulthood or adulthood, in many, many ways, we don't want to be hurt again. You know, who does? So then we can keep people out. And what she was doing was holding help out, even though her physical body really needed that help. And that's all part of our self-esteem. When we have a healthy self-esteem, we feel like we can receive help, but we also feel like we don't need help with everything. There are some things we are meant to do on our own, and there are some things that we really are much better doing with others. Our self-esteem, again, that third chakra, is earned in life. And that is earned through experience, and sometimes that's pretty painful. And that victim within us can grow stronger the more we allow ourselves to have unhealthy boundaries. And through all of how we react and respond to the challenges, the experiences, and all of the events in our lives. It comes in a lot of different ways. So a few examples would be when we are in manipulation energy. I'm going to make that person feel sorry for me because they hurt my feelings, or they're not giving me attention, or I'm going to withdraw and give them the cold shoulder. I'll show them. That's that victim energy. Or when we are overusing our support, every decision we look at, we want to run to someone else to help us solve it. Instead of, do I need assistance with this? Or maybe I'll get advice. But sometimes if I can't reach anybody, I know I just need to make the decision. So it's to feel that healthy balance of support, but also relying on ourselves and trusting our judgment. You know, that comes with self-esteem. The more we learn to connect to our higher power in my belief system and rely on others in very balanced ways and know we can do anything that we need to, that really helps our self-esteem. And when we feel a stronger self-esteem, it is much easier to give and receive in healthy amounts. Otherwise, sometimes we get caught in what I call the pit of despair. And that is, by the way, if you never saw Princess Bride, it's from that movie, and it's one of my favorite movies. And so we can get caught there, and what happens, our energy goes down, and now the people we bring in are also in that poor me, or the ones that aren't tend to leave us, because it's really hard to be around someone that's in that shadow victim so much. And now we're just in a pile of possible wound comparing buddies. So I'm going to hang out with the people that are just as miserable as me. But we're not going to move forward because we're keeping each other stuck by allowing each other to not kick each other in the ass sometimes. Another way we are really meant to move into the light of our victim is to learn to manage our own behavior. Now, when we're out to hurt somebody, that's victimizing. That's in the shadow of the victim, because remember, we all carry the victim. And sometimes when we're in the shadow, we are tired of hurting and then we want to make somebody else hurt. Or we're blaming someone else because we're hurt instead of picking ourselves up and healing. And if you allow yourself to pay attention, if you allow yourself to look at where in your life you are feeling that disempowerment, that piece of you that feels begrudging or is upset or unforgiving. That's where your victim is. So start to pay attention, and hopefully not in a way where you're condemning yourself, but in a way where you're curious. What is it I need to learn here? Why do I feel so disempowered with this situation or this boss or this boyfriend or this child? Even parents sometimes can feel disempowered by their children. Why am I feeling this? What's it triggering within me? Now, how do I move into a more healthy and empowered state? In my belief system, we came in as spiritual beings to learn to face every challenge as an opportunity, because we're always going to have them. And we define our circumstances by our challenges. It can either bring us down into pity and disempowerment, or we can rise above that and say, okay, another challenge. I'm ready to face this one. And of course, that can be one day we want to face it and the next day we don't. So it's just to be mindful of where we're at, and do we want to stay in a disempowered state? Every day we have choices, every day. And when we feel that pressure or when we feel defeated, we're either going to move into the victim state or the victor state. Where are we? You know, I loved that movie, Tom Hanks movie, Castaway, where he was stranded on an island and he started taking care of himself. He was depressed, of course. That was really overwhelming. Did he think he was ever going to get away? What happened? He never gave up. He continued to look at every situation as a mini challenge. And he did finally succeed. And then, of course, he went back home and the woman he loved was now married to someone else, I think, in a very short time, by the way. And he opened his heart and found love with someone else. That's where he could have gone into the depths of the victim, the pit of despair. However, instead, he faced the challenges. But it was a roller coaster. It gets to be a roller coaster. And every day we get to decide, are we going to stay down in the bottom or are we going to rise above? Every moment, really. And when we allow ourselves to connect to others in healthy, balanced ways, to receive help and to give help, that is really a lift to our mind, our body, our mood. Because oftentimes, when we are in the shadow victim, even the good things that are coming our way, we might lose sight of them. It's so important to be in gratitude. And we all know when we are not in gratitude and then we're grumpy and we're just looking at life as half empty. But when we start to pay attention to all the ways that we have been given gifts, that people are kind to us, that people are willing to help, now we start to grow in spirit. And the more we stay in gratitude, the more we will not lose sight of what others have been doing for us. And think of it this way. If we have something we need to do, like find a new job, get a new apartment, or help somebody in need, or not have enough time in the day. That's been my whole week. My week's been really busy, and I can feel that creep up of that victim. Oh my gosh, how am I going to get everything done? And then I stop myself there. Not always, of course, because I'm human. But I stop myself there and say, wait a minute. Most of the things on my plate I really love. And what I've recognized over the years is I'm choosing. I get to choose. I get to choose how much I'm going to work or how much I'm not going to work. And that, you know, brings in money or doesn't, right? But it's my choice. So then every time when there is not enough room on my schedule or time on my plate, and I get to decide how I'm going to look at it. Am I going to look at it as doom and gloom and give up and throw in the towel and cancel everything? Or am I going to say, no, this is an opportunity for me to rise to this challenge? And of course I can do it. Because I always do. And it can be much more fun. But if we're in that state of, now I have to move and I can't find a place, and oh no, I'm getting fired and I can't find a job, or I can't believe I have to do this today, we look at it as a disempowered state. We're exhausted. No, either way, we're going to do it. When we look at it instead as a healthy challenge, something that we can master or at least do half-ass, we can say, all right, I need to do this and I'm going to make it happen. And now my energy goes up and now the possibilities go up and now the solutions start to appear. Either way, we're going to do it. So why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we get stuck in the, now I have to do this, now I have to do this? So a woman I work with that has a lovely, lovely life. And she is looking at her schedule all the time as a pain in the butt. There is, I have to get my hair done and I'm going to have lunch with my friend and then I'm going to play tennis and I've got to call my daughter. You know, it's all lovely things. But she's looking at it from such a state of have-tos that she has a lot of hip issues. And so when we start to identify, I'm hurting my body. I'm hurting my body by what's going on in my mind. And at any time when we begin to move into a different state of mind, it is amazing how much energy we have. So pay attention to that. So a few questions to ask yourself, deciding if you're in the disempowered or the empowered state of victim. Do I ever blame another for the circumstances of my life? Who do I blame and why? There's a woman I know that is a new mom and she's working a lot, and as is her husband, and she's not exercising enough. And she's now recognizing she was blaming her husband for not being able to exercise instead of finding a sitter and bringing someone in so she could exercise. But we get caught in that pattern of wanting something from someone. She wanted that from her spouse and he wasn't giving it to her. So then she was giving up until she woke up. Then it's like, wait a minute, I need to do this for me and I'm empowered enough to hire a sitter. That's what we get to do. Something I love from the Nonviolent Communication book is we often go to four options when faced with something difficult. We blame others. We blame self. We sense our own feelings and needs. We sense others' feelings and needs. We get to do that. Four options. Or maybe there's more. But what are we going to do? Are we going to blame others for our situation? Are we going to blame ourselves? Are we going to recognize, like she did, that she had needs and she did want to go exercise and make time for that? And also sensing other people's needs. Well, maybe my husband is legitimately too busy. So me waiting around and getting mad at him isn't really helping the situation. So I can choose a different thing. I can honor where he's at and I can honor where I'm at and I can hire a sitter. And now my needs are being met and I don't have to be angry anymore. How else do we recognize our victim? When we are in the pit of self-despair, that pit of self-pity. And when you're in there, notice who you pay attention to. Who do you call? Or who you take a walk with that doesn't lift you up or kick you in the butt? What friends or family members go into the pit of despair with you, feeling life is unfair? And that includes comparing self to others and thinking someone else has it easier. When we don't know anyone else's struggles, that's the victim. Oh, they have it easier than me. Instead of seeing that we all do struggle. And we don't know what someone else's life is like. So when we spend time in that pit of self-pity, pay attention to who you're bringing in the pit with you. And it's not to extract them from your life. I'm not saying that or suggesting that. But maybe choose to do it differently. Maybe choose instead to call someone that's going to pick you up and help you find solutions instead of commiserate with you. Another thing to ask yourself, do I envy others for getting what they want out of life? Who do I envy and what is it? And so now I'm going to start to pay attention to that envy. It's time for me to head there. Because I can go after it just like that person did. And maybe my path is going to be different, but I'm going to allow myself to rise to the challenge instead of envying and letting it disempower me. Another question, do I feel victimized by others when situations don't work out the way I want them to? Do I get stuck in feeling like nothing works out for me? That person disappointed me. My situation sucks. When we're in victim, we lose sight of the potentials, the possibilities when we're in shadow victim and what others have been doing for us. It's so easy to lose sight of all the good things that have happened. It's so easy to lose sight of the ways people have helped. But maybe it wasn't enough at that moment, Or maybe it's time for us to step up what we're doing and not rely so much. So it's just, where are you in the gray there? And overall, do we tend to feel powerful or powerless? Strength is key. Strength in body, strength in mind, and strength in spirit. Do I tend to feel powerless or powerful? Looking at a day. Maybe in a moment I felt powerless, but most of the day I feel powerful, or is it vice versa? But remember, we can also be too strong and keep people out, not vulnerable enough. So it's, where are we in the spectrum? Do I have healthy relationships where people rely on me and I rely on them? Give and take. And now I feel empowered. And this is another one. This is a big one for some people. Do I use pity or pouting to get my way? Manipulation is easy to sometimes not even know that we're doing it. Do I manipulate others to feel sorry for me? Tears, pointing fingers, folding arms, stomping away. You never listen to me. I can't do anything right. I remember someone that I dated a while ago, and when we were bringing up some of the things that were hard, I can't do anything right. And that was a big red flag for me because that was prevalent. It wasn't just one time. It's to really look at, are we in that state of feeling either really bad about ourselves genuinely or trying to shift the attention and using a little manipulation? Either way, it's not a very healthy way to live. Or, you don't care about me. You know, sometimes kids say that. And sometimes adults say that. So just pay attention to where you're at with that. And another one, and this is where I really hope that we can push through this. Do we give up when not feeling supported? When I opened Well House in 2021, it was a big deal to me. And at first I felt quite supported. And then everyone got busy and the team was all doing their own thing. And I started to not feel supported. And then I started to feel disempowered. Because in my view, the team was not behaving like the team we had agreed to be. However, that was a challenge. That was where I could choose at that moment. Am I going to just say fine and throw in the towel and be a baby? Or am I going to rise to the occasion and face the challenges? That's what we get to do every day. And it can be small or big, but every day. And we are going to feel this in our gut. So paying attention to your physical body, ask the body, how am I feeling today with this situation? Am I feeling that low in my gut? Am I feeling like I was just kicked? Am I feeling sick to my stomach? Am I feeling disempowered? Is my energy gone? Because when we're in shadow victim, we're disempowered and we're in our third chakra when we're in shadow. And that can be, remember, when we are feeling disempowered, we can become a tyrant. That's still a victim. We can just start controlling and commanding because we're feeling disempowered and we're in fear, and then we want to control everything. When we're feeling powerless, it's because we are forgetting that we have a choice. We always have a choice. And when we allow ourselves to put the power of our lives in someone else's hands, or letting our external circumstances be the gauge for my self-esteem, that is going to defeat me. And it's also going to interplay with every single relationship. It really does, because when we feel defeated, we are also not being an equal partner in any relationship, or a healthy parent, or a healthy employee. Because the needier one person becomes, the more the other person pulls away. And the needier person might be externally needy, might be asking for a lot of attention, or you don't love me, do you? Or using those manipulation tactics, or saying, well, you don't give me enough time, when you're feeling like all I do is give you time. What happens? That needy person becomes a little bit too much for our system, so we start to pull away. And then that needier person becomes even needier. And the one that's pulled away pulls away even farther. Or that needy person crawls in a shell and they're both disconnected. So it's to look at, when we are in any type of partnership, work, parenting, relationships at home, romantic, Am I feeling victimized? Am I feeling empowered? And am I being a healthy partner in that same way if my partner is struggling or if my child is struggling? Which leads us into the next archetype I want to talk about today, which is child. And these two really do go hand in hand. The child, when we're in child and we're in the shadow and we're also in the victim, we can feel that I don't feel like I have any power. And now I'm going to go pout. Now I'm going to go stomp my feet and have a temper tantrum. Now I'm going to pull away and cry. And it's okay to cry. There's nothing wrong with crying. As long as we then take a breath and say, okay, how am I going to face this challenge? Because the lessons with that beautiful child within each of us is to learn how to balance being in innocence and wonder and also being responsible. How do we live a responsible life and also retain that spark of joy, that spark of wonder, that spark of innocence? It is sometimes a challenge, absolutely. And these qualities are not in opposition of each other. They're in a beautiful balance, that divine dance with each other. Balance of work and play. You know, when we're in work mode, we can be too responsible. And someone comes up to us and has a question and we just bark at them. Instead of being in work, but also being in wonder, staying in the innocence of being aware of our surroundings, of being aware of the people in our lives. That's the beautiful balance of being in a child mode. And the balance really happens and we move more into the light and the empowerment of the child when we learn to work responsibly and trust our higher power and trust other people to live in a balanced state of giving and receiving, to manage our tasks and know we can do them, to work in a community, work among others, work with others. Now we can enjoy life better because it's in so much more balance. And this is our second chakra. Victim is the third, remember, and this child is in, well, it's in the first and the second, because the second is all about the balance of work and play, giving and receiving, staying in creativity and wonder. And the first chakra in relation to the child is about staying in that balance of our tribe, of our family of origin, of knowing we can do it, and also knowing we have support from those people in our tribe. And that's friends, family, workmates, whatever, whoever is in your tribe. When we are in the true health of the child, why we came here with this part of our body and being is to be responsible for the actions and the deeds that we have done, to be responsible for our body, our belongings, our talents, our interconnections with others as a mature adult, while also still having fun and play and seeing life new, but not being a curmudgeon and being responsible, but being joyful and being responsible, having fun and being responsible. It is absolutely possible. So we want to be checking in with our dependency level. How responsible are we? And what is my perception of life, my family? Where am I? Do I still feel like a child when I'm with my siblings and my parents, or do I feel like an adult, like my siblings are all equal to me? Start to pay attention to that. How do I feel with my family? How do I feel with my safety? Do I feel like I am safe in this world, or do I not feel safe? We want to feel safe. So what do we need to do to get there? Maybe that means you need to take a self-defense course. Right? Or put alarms on your home, or learn to use your voice, or say no when we need to. Setting those beautiful boundaries and allowing ourselves to nurture ourselves. Because as we become an adult, we are our own parent. So I am my own inner child, and I'm also my own parent. So if my back is really sore because I've been going too long and my back is yelling at me, do I just ignore it, or do I get the heating pad, or do I get in the bath, or do I do some forward folds? Am I going to nurture myself? Am I going to be loyal to me? You know, pay attention to how we are running our life, both in our physical body and our mind. And then, of course, adding in the soul, having faith, having that connection to wonder and beauty, that childlike wonder, and growing through to become a healthy adult child is that journey of maturity, of spiritual, emotional, and psychic gifts, all of that, looking at that beautiful trinity within each one of us. Because when we're in the light, we see life with newness each day. Each day we can have a healthy beginning. Every situation, if we feel like there's no solution, then it's great to pull back, pause, and look at it with childlike wonder. Okay, fresh eyes. I'm going to use fresh eyes. And this can really be delightful, can be enchanting. Living with the wonder of a child can be enchanting. I still look up at the sky for shooting stars, and then I'm taken aback. Or that fun of howling at the moon, or splashing in puddles, or running out in the rain. And those are things that can put us back in that state of awe. We learn early on how we can depend on others or not. Now, so if you had a childhood where you didn't really have a lot of support, where you weren't always fed on time, or you weren't really taken care of, or you weren't heard, you'll run a lot more of that wounded child now, possibly. But that can always be overcome, always. I do not believe in ever giving up, because we get to learn and grow every single day, regardless of our age. And I said earlier, where we feel it in the body, that first and second chakra, are we okay? Can we make it? No, as we are an innocent child under the age of 7, it's really hard to feel like we can make it. And as we mature and we are in our teens and 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, can we make it? If we have the death of a spouse and that spouse took care of the checkbook, can we learn and make it? It's all about the mindset, our survival. And can we still have fun? Can we ask for what we need? Can we use this beautiful throat chakra and ask for what we need when we need it? Also knowing, remember, that there is this balance of what are some things we can do on our own? Because when everybody shuts me out for whatever reason, then I know it's time for me to do it on my own. You know, if you're calling a friend and they're busy, and you call another friend and they're busy, then it's like, wait a minute, maybe the universe is saying, this is time for you to spend some time alone. We get to look at it like that. Look at the challenge in a different way. And then we're not feeling that overdependency. Because when we're in the shadow child, we might have really unrealistic expectations. We might think things are too unfair. Or we deserve something, and why didn't we get it? We are meant to work. Whatever our work is, we are meant to do. Part of our life is work, and it helps us feel better about ourselves. Now, we are not relying so much on other people, but we're relying on the balance. Because when we are really in the light of the child, our child can help us with reactions of not holding on to anger, not saying, well, you hurt me 10 years ago, so I'm still mad at you. We can be in that space of maturity in our relationships. We can make better choices. We are not relying on someone else to make us happy. We are allowing ourselves to find our own ways to be happy. And then any relationship is a bonus because we already got it figured out within. We're also sometimes in the shadow when we are being hurtful to another, that tit for tat energy. A man I used to know would say, and even in his 50s, would say, ha, 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 with the energy of, I'm right, and you're not. Or you hurt me, so now you're hurting. So, ha, ha. Sorry, that makes me laugh. It's quite funny. Because that's so childlike. It's that remnants of that wounded child where everything has to be fair. And people can be in their 50s and 60s and 70s and still behave that way. And then we have to step back. Well, we don't have to. We can choose to step back and say, is this really how I want to behave? Does it really help me feel better if I see someone else suffer? Then we're stuck in too much competition, which is the shadow of the child, being too competitive, not feeling like we're good enough And so we have to win. There's a male client of mine who had learning issues in his junior high. And in his 50s, he was super competitive in any activity he did. And then he became competitive with his children needing to be right. But it came from that learning disability. He held those memories from being teased in junior high. And he carried that with him without even consciously understanding he was carrying that with him. His body holds those memories. Our bodies hold our memories. And so we're still trying, for some of us, he was trying to overcome that part of himself that did not feel good enough, that felt stupid. He felt so stupid and he was teased. And then he had to get into that energy of, I'll show them. I'm going to be the best at everything I do. I'm going to be super competitive, not allowing myself to slow down. And not allowing myself to even be vulnerable enough to pull back when my body's hurting. Sometimes we have no idea how much a part of us is stuck in the pain of the past. We want to recognize when our child can become that brat or tyrant and go into a temper tantrum or rage out of control to get attention, that manipulation, because I'm feeling like I'm not heard, shadow child. Feeling like I'm not heard. So I'm going to do what it takes to be heard. And when we're in that place, if any of you are, if you know anybody, if one of your children struggles with that, or one of your employees or your lover, whoever that is, what is the root of that fear? Try to go into standing in their shoes or stand in yours. What is the root of my fear? Why is that person bringing up this anger in me, this rage? Where is this coming back to? That brings us back to the present. We want to get back to the present because then we can forgive any of that past. And then we're letting go of that woundedness of the child. When we are allowing ourselves to stay in the shadow of the child, we are living way smaller than our spirit wants us to live. Same with the victim. When we're living smaller than our spirit wants us to live, whether we're in shadow victim, shadow child, or both, because we don't feel good enough, because we don't feel like we have the resources, because we don't feel like we have the smarts, whatever we don't have, because we're comparing ourselves, because we're not as educated or we're not as smart or we're not as experienced. But wow, I want to go after that dream. If you want to be Mozart, then start learning how to play the piano. Just don't give up because we don't know what we're capable of unless we put one foot in front of the other and try. And I'm going to go into a little bit of different forms of child because we all carry the child, but this is kind of a cool twist because there are many different child energies and we all experience an aspect of each of these, but sometimes we'll run a little bit more of one of these types of child archetype. There's the nature child. That's that deep bonding with nature, loves animals, loves time outside. They need to get outside daily. They might be an animal rights activist. They might have a strong mother nature connection. Plants, gardeners, tree huggers, campers, and go into the why of that. It's that connection with spirit in the animal realm. I have two of my daughters that did not like baby dolls. They both really liked animals and they played with animals and stuffed animals and always outside. That's that beautiful nature child. And I'm going to be just going quickly through these. So there's a lot of stuff that I am leaving out, just so you know. I will in the future, if I get a request to talk more about this. There's an eternal child. That eternal child is the Peter Pan syndrome. They might even have a face of someone younger, even in old age. They just have a childlike look about them. They can be innocent, but they can also be really emotionally immature, not high on the emotional intelligence scale if they're in the shadow. And that's that Peter Pan, Michael Jackson. They love that eternal quality of young. And sometimes they're responsible, but they're irresponsible in some ways. Like they might not have the healthiest relationships because they can be childlike in their emotions. or they might just not want to work and they rely on their parents to support them for the rest of their lives. So it's somewhere in there, they are not accepting responsibility. And that could be even not taking care of their physical body, right? And then they can become really, really unhealthy in whatever way, because they were allowing themselves to sit in those feelings of, I can't do it. You know, and of course, that's an easy explanation. There's so many more reasons, so many more, because what happens in childhood really does affect us. Abuse, neglect, childhood trauma of any kind at some point can say, I'm recognizing that this is really holding me back. I'm going to let myself start to clear the clutter from all of the pain of my past and become my own parent. And then the wounded child, which we talked about in another episode, we all run wounded child, you know, we do. And that energy of holding on to that painful past, memories of abuse, neglect, not able to forgive, continuing year after year to say stuck in the past, in the self-pity. And there are many reasons for this. And just know there are many ways to alleviate that pain, because at the end of the day, it hurts self more than anybody else. And remember, we might run healthy in some areas and unhealthy in another. Another one is the orphan child. And that's someone that really is striving for approval and still looking for their tribe. They just always feel very alone. They don't have a family. They might have a physical family, but they don't feel connected. And there's the magical child. The magical child can see the beauty in all things. The magical child loves stories. Anything is possible, usually quite artistic, and has this beautiful energy of getting so excited. But then when things don't go their way, they can be really in the other end of the spectrum and very disappointed and go right to depression. That magical child is beautiful, and it can be quite hard because it can be the high highs and the low lows more than some of the other archetypes in the child. And then the divine child. Divine child is closely related to the magical child, but they have this savior mentality. They came in to be a servant of God. They have a strong connection to the divine. And they can be very naive. So it can be because they see the light in everybody. It can be very subtle, that naivete. They might not recognize danger because they see the good in everybody. And so we want to learn the balance of that, right? Seeing the good and also being cautious. So every one of these children are possibly within you or around people you know. And that was just a quick synopsis. But I want to ask a couple questions for you to look at your child. Ask yourself, do you feel like you rely too much on others? And do you feel shame around that? There's a woman that I work with, a young gal, and she really struggles with her parents because she still needs them a lot in her mind because she's not creating enough of an income for herself. And then when they try to hold healthy boundaries around it, she gets angry at them. Because why? Why is she angry? Because she's feeling shame. So instead of recognizing the shame and talking through that, which is, of course, what she's doing with me now, she's reacting at her parents with anger and then pushing them away and then blaming them. And that's when we can be too reliant and in that shadow of that child, place blame on someone else that we need help from. That's when the victim and the child are working together in shadow ways. We can step into disempowerment and give our power away to anybody, our partner, especially when we feel held to a partner because they have the purse strings. That can be another way where we go into child. We might even be mad at them for being strong in their will and holding the purse strings. But remember, we're allowing ourselves to be in that situation. It takes two people. So no one can disempower us and keep us in child shadow except ourselves. We can learn to speak from a place of strength, get a job, you know, whatever it is we need to do to feel like we are responsible for ourselves and an adult. And we want to be careful when we are too reliant on others, whether that's emotionally, for advice, for physical help, whatever it is, because the needier one person becomes, especially when they're not emotionally mature about it, the more the partner or the parent or the child or the friend pulls away. The needier one person becomes, the more the other person pulls away. Why? Because it's hard to be around a person when they are feeling like they can't do anything, when we see that they are. So it's allowing healthy conversation. If you have someone that runs a lot of dependent child in your life, can you have a healthy, kind conversation with them? And if it's you, can you have a healthy, kind conversation with yourself? Also checking our communication. When we're in unhealthy child, we do not do conflict well. Crying, temper tantrums, manipulation, hurting others with our words. We can feel so mad because we're not being heard. And then how do we handle that, right? Do we yell back? Do we stomp out of the room, pick up our toys and leave the sandbox? Or can we learn to respond from that empowered state, calm, not taking things personally, reacting from that place of clarity? Also ask yourself, do you feel like you're always going to be okay? Because you're strong enough to get things done that need to get done. You have a good support team. Or are we running from things that are hard? We put things off. We procrastinate too much. That's the shadow child. If any of this is coming up in the shadow, if any of these child behaviors in the shadow, ask yourself, go back to childhood a little bit. Not to stay, not to get stuck, just to say, where did this pattern start? Now, how can I move through this pattern? I notice it started when? At age 8. Or I notice it more with this person who reminds me of my dad. Start to pay attention to when you're feeling like the disempowered child. And now how do I take steps to move into the light of that child? We want to be aware of our own needs. We all have them. And we really want to feel like we can meet them, instead of waiting for others to meet them. Otherwise, we feel like a child and we feel shame and we feel guilt and we're expecting someone to meet our needs when we're not. Sometimes, of course, we can't. That's a different situation, right? But overall, we're talking. If we want others to meet our needs, we need to meet them as well for ourselves. And then, of course, helping other people. That beautiful energy of balanced giving and receiving. And there's a couple that I used to know so many years ago, and the wife would take responsibility for her husband's health. I think he had diabetes and he wasn't taking his medication, and then she would mother him and hound him, and he'd get angry at her for mothering him and hounding him. And they had this dance for a long time because he's in shadow child. He's not taking responsibility for the physical health. And when one person in the partner is in child, guess what happens to the other person? They're stepping into parent role. Very unhealthy pattern. And it is easy to get stuck there, but it's also easy to take steps out. Steps doesn't change overnight. Because our child can be used for good, wonder, allowing ourselves to see that we have choice, like with the victim, and also that every problem can be solved. When we struggle with our lives, we can start new and stay in possibility. We can look for new answers. We can. And even if we wake up feeling stuck, we can switch it. We have the power. Our minds are powerful. We know our minds are powerful, right? Because we can have such a powerful mind that our thoughts can drag us down into the pit of despair. Well, if our thoughts can do that, our thoughts can also help us rise above, help us come up with incredible new solutions. We can start with all possibility. We can look at things in a much different perspective. And that connects us, because now we're open. It connects us to much greater, higher guidance. We're stepping into that beautiful state of self-empowerment and our highest potential. Our child archetype is here to help us soar, to help us see our dreams and reach for the stars to achieve them, not give up. No, children want to be what? Firemen, ballerinas, singers. And then what happens over time? We lose sight of that and we take a job we don't even like. But that it can always be shifted. Not always easy, but we can always fulfill a dream, even if it was a childhood dream. You might not be a ballerina on the stage in New York City. Maybe you will. But it's, how can I achieve this dream in a different way? We don't want to give up. We want to go back and look, is this still a dream? And if we are in the state of the healthy child and the empowered victim, We know we can achieve what we want to achieve. It's a healthy mindset. It's so important to pay attention to what's going on in our mind. And remember, if we choose to stay in the shadow of the child or victim, we risk living smaller than our spirit wants us to live. We don't achieve those goals. We don't go after our dreams, but we came here to go after those dreams. We came here to really understand that we have just as much of a state of empowerment as everybody else. Everybody else. Some people have a harder walk in life. Absolutely, 100%. There are ways for us to meet our goals in some way, but we don't want to do it alone. We want to do it with our higher power and with people around us that are helping us move towards our goals, not keeping us in the pit. We are always as good as our dreams are pushing us to be. We don't have a dream unless we can fulfill it on some level, even if we have to modify it. That's okay too. We can become beautifully empowered, curious, wonder-filled, and joyous victors. It is possible. And that's what I hope we strive for. Have a beautiful week, and I look forward to connecting with you again next Wednesday. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing and for commenting. It is always appreciated. Hey, listeners, thank you so much for being part of the Soul Speak world. I really appreciate that. And if you're willing and if you find this of value, would you please follow on any of the platforms you're listening to, whether that's Apple or Spotify or Google or any of the platforms? And of course, I love the ratings if you find this valuable. You can also follow me on YouTube and like and share. And all of that really makes a difference. Appreciate your participation. And of course, I really appreciate you being part of this world.